This show is powered by BL3P, the Lightning-enabled European Bitcoin exchange.
Connect the build.
Hakuna from Germany.
Yuval Noah Harari, born 1976, is an Israeli historian, author, and professor in the Department of History of the Hebrew University of Jerusalem. Is 21 Lessons for the 21st Century your favorite book?
No.
Mixed martial arts fighter and multiple champion Conor McGregor quits his retirement and will fight against Michael Chandler this year. Date and time to be announced. The eccentric McGregor, also known as the Notorious, earned $150 million in 2021, making him the best paid sportsman of that year. Will McGregor win the fight against Chandler?
No.
If I could turn back time, I would stay completely anonymous online.
Yes.
You can wake me up in the middle of the night for a dish of Thai red curry.
Of course, yes.
Naval Ravikant is an Indian-American entrepreneur and investor. He is the co-founder, chairman, and former CEO of AngelList. He has invested early stage in over 200 companies, including Uber, Foursquare, and Twitter. If you had the chance to sit down and have a talk with him, would you try to orange pill him?
Yes.
I prefer using Nostar over Twitter.
Yes.
Everyone should go hybrid.
Yes.
The Whiskey Sour is a mixed drink containing whiskey, often bourbon, lemon juice, sugar, and optionally a dash of egg white. Egg whites are ideal for a cocktail as it allows you to use the protein to trap air in your drink and change the structure without adding other flavors. Do you know that the oldest historical mention of a whiskey sour was published in the Wisconsin newspaper in 1870?
No.
Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas is a 1998 American black comedy adventure film. It was co-written and directed by Terry Gilliam and stars Johnny Depp and Benicio del Toro as Raoul Duke and Dr. Gonzo. The film details the duo's journey through Las Vegas as their initial journalistic intentions devolve into exploration of the city under the influence of psychoactive substances. Have you ever had a similar trip through Las Vegas?
No.
Are you Satoshi Nakamoto?
No.
Welcome to the Connect the World weekly podcast. I'm Edward.
And I'm Steph. We are ready to take you with us into the beautiful world of the Lightning Network.
Enjoy the ride. This is episode 62 of Connect the World. We're still trying to make it a new version, and I think we are succeeding. This show is made possible by BL3P, our friends. Thank you guys for helping us with our mission. And if you also want to help us out with our mission, Connect the World, then follow us on Twitter, subscribe at YouTube. And if you have any questions for us, for me, Steph, or other questions, then hit us up on Telegram in our Telegram groups. And of course, a donation is always welcome. You can use it in the Telegram group. So try out the bot.
Conecta el mundo.
So, Steph, here we are with Hakuna.
Hey, Hakuna.
It's the second time.
Yeah, the first guest who is appearing in our show for the second time. So you did something very good the last time, Hakuna.
Thank you well, and thanks for having me, fellas. Good to see you again.
Good to see
you. Of course, yeah.
Hey, we will come back at some of the answers you gave at the 10 questions, because there were some awesome in it. But we first have to talk a little bit about the highlight of this week. And the highlight of this week is Geyser. What is Geyser, Edward?
Yeah. Geyser is a Lightning native Bitcoin crowdfunding platform with a mission to help Bitcoin creators to transform their ideas into reality, and they're really succeeding. We also participated in their the Geyser Grants, they call it. They have now the Geyser Grant, the second run, and the Geyser Grant is a perfect way for all the collaboration from other companies that want to help and grant upcoming developers or initiatives from several categories. So it's not only a technical perspective, but also educational or community-based. And they're helping out. And I think, well, we know the guys from Geyser, of course. Yeah, we talk to them a lot, also at Bitcoin Amsterdam.
Yeah. And is this something that you guys at TunnelSets would like to use, Hakuna, maybe for a grant or yeah, is crowdfunding something that suits you, or I don't know.
I have to say we have still vaguely discussing it about financing and also putting bounties out there. It's something which is quite common, right? You have something you want to get built and you don't have the capacity or the capability to do it. Put out a bounty. I do remember zero free routing, putting a pretty hefty bounty out there because he wanted to have that the inbound liquidity selling between LND and CLN, and it's pretty cool, and I like that stuff. We haven't really digged into it yet, but Geyser is something. I think it's pretty balanced. You can do anything. Mm-hmm. For TunnelSets, we have a couple of technical challenges which we may consider adding up there as well as a bounty, and if people want to hunt it, I think it's a great opportunity.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah, great.
Соединим этот мир.
So welcome, Hakuna.
Welcome, Hakuna.
Already mentioned, second time on the show. Really, glad to have you back on the show.
Yeah, and, indeed.
We found out that it's almost 1 year, exactly 1 year. In March, it's exactly 1 year when you was on the show. But time goes by so fast, man.
It flies and by. I just read on Nostra, which I'm not sure if you're going to talk about it, but development cycles and stuff with on Nostra, it feels like one day is like other companies developing in 1 year, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
With Lightning and Nostra, it's all like bam, bam, like, and you're 1 year old.
And what you were saying about the bounties also, I was thinking right away at Nostr, because there it went so rapidly. Because we talked with Ben Ark and Fyatjev also way back about Nostr and Brennel, the other client, because it existed a longer time. And now it's it's crazy. Yeah, because of the funding. Funding really changes everything. And then you have a lot of people coming in.
Yeah.
And it's thriving. It's
but I think it's also
amazing
because of the open source people that are contributing to it, right? Because a lot of people, just because they're interested in the project and they know how to provide something new or a change or something better to it, then it's also like catalyzes the project, right?
Yeah, and it's fun also. It's still very experimental, and there's the same people that are there also with Lightning. I think there are a lot of similarities between eagerness for use cases also.
Yeah, absolutely. I do think, and that is why I love Yuval Harari a lot as well, is about game theory and incentives and human psychological economics is all about incentives, right? Why do we do this? Yeah. We want to self-develop, we're curious, we want to contribute part of the society. But Fyatjev also mentioned something which I think is about Lightning as well, is you need an incentive scheme. Otherwise, what's the incentive for people putting up a lot of work driving Nostra relays, for instance? Yeah. They're eating hardware like crazy. And that's something what Mastodon is challenged by as well. You have like Linux unaware people at home trying to run data sensitive servers at home for a long run, which costs a lot of money. Yeah. Right? Yeah, we saw that with Elon laying off so many people at Twitter. It's still humming, but you need engineering muscle. And that is something I think we need to solve with some monetary structure.
That's right. Yeah.
And have you ever been to Vegas, Hakuna?
No, I haven't. I haven't been. I like the question, because whatever I would say, I wouldn't mention it here anyway, because what happens in Vegas
stays in Vegas.
But I also, because I think I was at the age, I think I was around 16 or 17, and a friend of mine who was a little bit older, he said to me, oh, you have to watch this movie, man. It's one of the greatest movies I've ever seen. So I put it in and just watched it. And man, I was I had such a laugh at it. It was so such a funny movie, you know. And I don't know what your favorite part is, but every time I'm thinking back about that movie was the part that they, I think it was, they were walking around a hotel lobby or something, and they took some LSD or something, and then all the plants go up to the ceiling, and then I think it was Johnny Depp who was, he was stuck in a merry-go-round, right? He was stuck, and then the other guy he kicked him in the back, and he fell off the merry-go-round, and then he said, oh, somebody hit me in the back, and that was, oh, I think I rewinded that part like 10 times or something, because it was so funny, man. Really.
It is a critical age. Watching this with 16, 17, especially in the Netherlands, is something where potentially you chuckle yourself at the craziest parts. But it also is, it's not only I'm a fan of the movie because it's so funny, but it's gonzo journalism. So the story behind is quite deep. And you only get this later on when all the marijuana is gone and you kind of read up, then... you see the big picture behind it. And I just loved Johnny Depp.
But the role suits him so well, you know. It's like...
superb.
Superb. I couldn't think about someone else playing that role other than Johnny. So, but you know, I think it's because I watched it multiple times, but the last time I watched it is still, I think, 10, 15 years ago. So I think I will watch it again any day soon.
Yeah, for me, it's a long time. Very long time.
You also saw it, Edward.
Yeah.
Well, your shirt, actually, your shirt could fit in the scenery. Like,
it's a time for Trainspotting, Being John Malkovich, all those kind of movies from... That's a long time ago that I watched them. And some of them I watched multiple times, but still... Yeah, tripping, right?
The movie is great. So if you haven't seen it yet, guys, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
In Las Vegas,
you won't regret. You won't regret watching it.
So do not look at The Hangover, because that's also Las Vegas, but it's totally different.
Oh man, you can't compare those two, man. No. I mean, The Hangover, the first part of The Hangover was nice because it was a different. A structure or a concept, but you can't compare it to Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. Hey, Hakuna, we invited you because
again,
together with Osito, you started Tunnel Sets, and before we dive into the 21 minutes, because we all have we have a lot of questions about that project, obviously. Can you maybe tell us maybe a couple of things? How do you met Osito, and how do you guys came up with the idea to start Tunnel Sets? And then the final question, what is Tunnel Sets actually?
Of course, my pleasure. Thanks, Steph. So first off, I have to add that it's not only Osito and myself, but there is a critical part who is driving, contributing, is Ziggy. It's Ziggy Smoke in Telegram. Okay. We kind of nicely complement each other. If we would be a company, Ziggy is doing all the backend magic, firewalling, etc. I'm doing some of the DevOps and a little bit of the show facing, right? A product manager, marketing guy. And then Osito is a master of the front end and the guides. And we met each other in a Blitz, in a German speaking Blitz Telegram. And the funny thing is, we don't know each other at all. We only know us from Telegram. And we felt that because of just 1 year ago when we talked about it, right, Edward, it was about hybrid and the config files. And I felt back in the days already that Tor isn't reliable. There should be something about it. But the resolution was only write very long guides. And then everyone who stumbles into it, you have a 1 hour discussion in Telegram and walking people through it literally step by step. So the problem statement is, coming to the last question, Steph, what is Tunnel Sets? It's actually trying to address the complexity of people want to go online, do routing quickly. They want to provide quick, reliable, fast payments for people routing through their node. But When you try to get there by yourself, you need to have a vast understanding of firewalling, infrastructure, networking, get a VPS up and running, make it secure, keep it secure. And all that stuff also implemented with Node, with LND and that stuff. So it's a lot of complexity, and we want to take that complexity away. So we set up VPS infrastructure around the world, get you some install scripts if you want to. You can go on the Raspi Bolt guide and follow those steps by yourself if you don't trust us. Implement that stuff by yourself. And instead of signing up a VPS by yourself and providing some KYC data, you give us an anonymous payment and you rent a subscription on a monthly or quarterly basis. So that way, we try to mitigate the complexity, take this away, and also provide some anonymity to get faster payments.
Perfect. And we tested it out ourselves, Edward, right?
Yeah, we did. I'm going to test it out again soon. So,
with your personal note.
Yeah. I'm gonna do that, but I was doing a lot of other stuff. So yeah, but no, it it's really easy.
Yeah, perfect, man. Yeah,
it works. We had a custom setup, so we had some problems, but it's really easy.
Yeah, and a couple of months ago, within the Satoshi Radio Rings of Fire community, we experienced a lot of issues using Tor or nodes over Tor. And we also told a lot of people about Tunnel Sets, and they could use it to activate a hybrid node to improve it. So, thank you.
Well, we're going to talk about it more, but it's so suitable for the normal developer user. So that's really great.
And
they learn on the go. So that's also important.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Let's
so without this. Further ado, Hakuna, shall we dive into the 21 minutes, because we have all kinds of questions for you about Tunnel Sets. We would love to ask you.
Of course, let's go ahead.
Let's do it.
Cool.
Connect o mundo.
So first question about Tunnel Sets. I think it's good to emphasize again the difference between a Lightning node connected through the internet with a VPN service and through Tor, because it is a big difference. For me, it was a deal breaker was the speed, but you can explain it better.
Yeah, Edward, I do remember the difference, the stark difference between Tor. I remember we used a ping bot, LN ping bot. It has taken for probing a test payment, it has 14 seconds, 1-4, to get the HDLC transported. That's way too long, right? I'm standing at the supermarket, grocery store, I want to pay. And the grandma who usually is there with the cents, right? She's what's going on with this electronic
diving
stuff
in her wallet.
So we want it fast, right? And so answering your question on Tor only, it's a great tool, right? It's based on voluntarily offered network infrastructure, which is offering a lot of people in problematic jurisdictions to stay anonymous on the net. And it's a key driver, right? I don't want to talk it down. But I'm actually not sure if that was kind of correlating, but there were suddenly a lot of Lightning nodes coming online, and then Tor was under ongoing attack. Yeah. People saying it's a DDoS attack. I think it's lots of Lightning nodes attacking the Tor network, because actually it's super slow. Since Lightning is going up, Tor speed is going down. And so if you're a merchant or you're a personal node and you have a wallet, you may be fine with Tor, because it's anonymous. It's hiding your home IP from the internet. Mm-hmm. So it's obfuscated. Everything is anonymous. Your internet service provider can't see what you are up to. They can see you are connecting to Bitcoin. They can see you are running a Lightning node. Nothing is transparent. The difference is when you want to go into routing, you have two options. You can go hybrid and add your home IP. So you basically have two paths to Lightning. You have Tor, which is there, and the second one is what we call ClearNet, is your home IP. The drawback, so the benefit, is your home IP is directly connected to the internet. Instead of 14 seconds, it's take, it's taking 1 second, given that your hardware is fit enough. So 1 second for payment versus 14, that's a big difference, but yeah, your home IP is exposed. This is not good for different reasons, security operational. You may don't want that people know which city you live in. You may skeptic about your ISP checking what you're up to. And so generally, home IP out there, people are going to attack you. The internet is a jungle and people see your IP. Corresponded to, hey, there is some Bitcoin on the line, and then you're getting attacked. You don't want that. There are always smarter people out there than yourself. And so it's better. That's the third option. Go with the VPN. And we are only one option. There are many good options if you know what you're doing. Have a VPN as a front end to the internet. Lock it up tight. Hide the entry doors. And then there is a tunnel, a literal tunnel going to your node, and your node is hidden at home. No one knows what you're up to, not your ISP, no one from externally. It's just your front end, your VPN front end, which is exposed, and you only have one or two ports open, and that's it. It's pretty safe.
And how does TunnelSets VPN service differ from other VPN providers on the market?
So we focus... since we only tunnel the LN protocol packets, I think that is a couple of customers get this wrong sometimes, because then we have question, can I get LN bits on tunnel sites? Can I get Bitcoin through the tunnel, etc.? We focus only on Lightning Network. Everything else is going the second path. So that's a difference. Yeah. Why is that different? Is because we have redundancy in there. If I sign up for Malwart or VPN, everything goes through the tunnel. So it's a single point of failure. If they are down, my whole thing is down as well. Our offering is to allow you to stay connected via Tor, and TunnelSets is hiding your home IP. Then the second one is we're cheaper because we're sharing costs and we don't need to take all the heavy bandwidth. We can provide more competitive costs. We, all three of us, actually run LN nodes for a long time, so I would consider us advanced. So we actually know what our customers need, because our needs are the same. We experience the same shit for the past 12 months or longer, right? It's about speed. We don't want forced closes. We don't want node to be down, or so avoid downtimes. It's all the same stuff. So we share the burden, and I think that way we can cater more to the needs. And the fourth item is we offer the sign-up process to be paid with Lightning. You can buy Malwart with Sats as well, but for our payment, our subscription, we don't know anything about you. You only need to pay the invoice, and then you basically get the conf file from our own mail server or in the UI directly, and then we actually don't know nothing about you, only your IP. And we keep this in RAM. So that's most of the VPNs are doing this, or the good premium VPNs do this as well. It's called lockless, right? Making sure that if they get raided, nothing is shared from their customers. But I think with that anonymous payment of Lightning, we do an extra step of anonymity as well.
Yeah, completely private.
Yeah. And can you explain from beginning to the end the steps that are taken to ensure privacy and security of the user's data and network traffic? Because you're telling that you need Lightning to pay for the subscription, so that's hidden then, that's secure. But what other steps are there for users?
Good question. So. First off, I know a couple of the audience as well might wonder, okay, so why should I trust him? Right? So I can, Edward, I can tell you anything. And you probably say, yeah, sounds good. But at the end of the day, it's also auditing. This is why auditing services are there. We know what happened at FTX, and they've been audited quite well, right? Yeah, thank you. there goes all my money. But auditors are a key element, and we're not auditing. So what I'm telling you here is everything taken with a grain of salt. You need to trust me. I'm not trustless. Right? But what happens is, A, we have our website available on the Onion network. You can find those in the show notes. So with Onion, you don't even access our web server in the normal way, but with, via the Onion network. If you access our website normally, we only save the first octet about the IP address. Everything else gets cut off by Caddy. So we don't store any of the IP access to the website. We don't use any cookies. We use our own self-built mail server in case you decide to get the configuration sent to you. And when the when you basically get the configuration, the only way to for our server to identify you is that WireGuard public key. You get the public key and you get a private key. We don't know that. We only allow the public key. We basically whitelist your public key to be signing up and being allowed to use the tunnel. That's the only stuff we know about your node. We keep the IP address in the log because basically when they're handshaking, we know there is an IP address coming. So we know that. But as soon as your subscription ends, or you dial the tunnel down, it goes out of the RAM and we forget about it. So that is a benefit, Edward, to answer your question, is a benefit. We actually don't know our customers. It's a drawback. So in case something is down, we see a connection. We see when nodes are going down, we see a connection spike, for instance, on servers. If we see something going on, we cannot let our customers know. We can only shout from the rooftop and hope all of our customers hear it. Twitter, Telegram. Yeah. But there is no way for us to go and tell them something is wrong or get in touch with them. It's a drawback, but we accept this because privacy and anonymity as far as is much more important than good customer service.
Yeah, it is.
And
it saves you some time, maybe. No, just kidding. Can you discuss a real life scenario in which a user will benefit from using tunnel sets? We now know that instant it makes instant payments possible, for instance, but maybe from the routing nodes perspective, but also from people that don't necessarily want to route much. What is the benefit of using tunnel sets?
So it is, to be quite frank with both of you, it's no one or barely people I know or discussed coming to join Lightning and say, I want to be a routing node, right? It's actually, we discussed this earlier in the show, is you have different incentives or motivations. You want to be part of the game. You want to try something out. A friend of you talked about it. You want to be cool to your peers and kind of show off that you're always doing the fancy stuff. We're humans. We have different motivations. But you're coming in, then playing around. And like my first node in 2018, end of 2018, you basically don't know what you're doing. Right. It's a low insight of like what's my prospect? What is the purpose here? The routing comes later. I actually, Steph, I wouldn't advise for someone who's just in that first phase of maturity, I wouldn't advise to go for tunnel sets, because Tor is sufficient. If it doesn't make really a difference, if you wait for an HTLC to get transferred in 14 seconds or in 1 second, because you have one routing per day, then don't go for it. It costs some hard-earned sats, right? Yeah, I would really advise anyone, only go for it if you get to the glass ceiling, which every node runner at some point who puts some more sats on it will see. Because I know here's a life scenario. I want more routing. I may get in Amboss, there is an opportunity now for buying Magma channels. I've actually added a restriction. Only people who are hybrid or ClearNet can buy channels for me. Because I get so many Tor issues. Yeah. The stability, the channels are disabled. You see this in the red square on your Amboss page. When your channel partner disables you, it's not your fault. It's just because Tor is very unreliable. It's up and down. If your peer channel tries to transfer a payment over your node and you are up and down, your reliability score is falling to the bottom. So if you see unreliability and you want to do some more reliable routing for payments, or you really want to double down on routing, but don't feel like you can sign up for VPS or get your whole node into the cloud. I know some people have it in the cloud, very few actually, but some people have it fully in the cloud because it's very expensive. Then go for tunnel sats. That's a very good position.
Perfect. But I would also think, but maybe I'm wrong, that if people are entering the Lightning space, they with the Rings of Fire also, the next step is to have some routing, because that's nice. Then your node is doing something, and we need places where we can spend sets. And if they are there, they want it to be as quickly as possible, because then they have a nice experience. Yeah. So I also think that perhaps something like this and the speed and reliability and that something happens is also helping adoption. So I think tunnel sets helps in that way for a better experience overall, I think. Can you walk me through the process of connecting to other Lightning nodes using tunnel sets with port forwarding?
Yeah. So I'll keep the Tor connection outside because that is, even with tunnel sets, we keep both online, right? So in case fuck up, Tor is still there. You still have the slow connection, which is called tunnel splitting. Yeah. And we do this intentionally, because two connections, even one is a crappy one, is better than only one connection.
Yeah. It's a fail-safe.
And so we leave that at the side. And with tunnel sats, there is outbound. So my node is going out and connecting to another node. And that works basically from your node is almost crossing a bridge or getting through the tunnel, hitting our VPS server. We have NF tables, a firewall, making sure that whatever is coming from your node and wants to go out, that it's allowed to go out. We basically forward the package to the original destination, which is your channel partner. And the channel partner, this is called the ping pong stuff, right? So there are various things in Lightning happening pretty similar to HTTP in gossip or in channel connections. It's a ping, and then the pong is an inbound request, is more complex. Yeah. So it's basically coming, hitting our firewall at the VPS. We need to ensure that from the origin server, we don't tell the origin server where it's going, because the origin server should think we are the destination, right? We want to hide the home IP. So we basically say, okay, acknowledged, we got you, we got the package, and then we hand it over in the tunnel via port forwarding. We give it to the corresponding, basically the port is telling the WireGuard and the firewall, telling the port, okay, this packet belongs to this node, and then we hand it over. That way, it's going through the tunnel without the external partners knowing what's happening.
And how does tunnel sets ensure the reliability and performance of its VPN servers? How do you do it yourself?
It is, so it's something we learned on the ground. I do remember early times in May when we've been super careful because there are sets on the risk, right? Go to some node runners or like, hey, do you want to test something? We have something in mind. And then, but our confidence level grew quite quickly, I remember, because things like number of sockets is something which is, there is a great variety in there. For instance, if a big node is running nicely, it's basically not a big stress on the VPS. But as soon as they go down, even if it's just compacting my channel DB, you can see the server load spikes is going nasty, because the number of socket connections, all the peer channels are trying to reconnect to the node. Hey, what's with my pending HLC? Where are you going? Yeah. Where are you going? Right, and then it's obviously hitting our VPS, so our firewall need to manage something like a bouncer in a Berlin club, need to push all those people out and only let them back in when the node is back online. So that is when things go wrong, but we figured this out and we have some good limitations there. When we say natural organic growth is coming, we're just signing up more servers. And then we do some load balancing via the web UI, right? If DE1 is full, we see the capacity is going on approaching yellow level. We spin up a new server. This is so wonderful, fellas. It's not like the old days where you put like a hardware rack on your back and walk to the data center. It's just a couple of clicks, a command line, and then the server is up. We have some scripts scripts which automatically set up all the structure of the whole server, yeah, of the whole TunnelSats backend. It downloads all the GitHub repositories, etc., builds binaries, etc., and then it's online, and then we enter it into the web UI, and every new customer gets to the new server.
Perfect.
And can you explain the business model of TunnelSats and how it generates revenue at the moment?
Yeah. So we fortunately have customers who pay. So that's how we're making money. But a serious response is we pay by month and in parts by traffic. And that way we try to keep it simple for our customers. We basically inherit the charging costs and hand them over to our customers. So whatever we pay, we have now on every single continent, we have server structure, VPNs, and there are different pricings of them because we use different vendors. We don't want to go all in with one vendor only. We get kicked out by one of the premium vendors, all our customer base is screwed. So we want to have some fallback options. And that way, so they charge us in fiat money. We turn that fiat money into the proper money, which is Satoshis. And then we give our customers the option, do you want to sign up for 1 month, which obviously is the highest fee, but people want to test it out. Yeah. We give 3 months, 6 months, 12 months. And as longer you sign up, it's the old deal, right? As longer you sign up, the more discount you get, or the cheaper month offering you get. You can also extend it if you want to. So after 6 months, you feel this is nice, but in 6 months, I'm in Argentina on holidays, or I'm in my hammock because my routing worked so well. I don't want to stand up, so you can sign up right away, extend the subscription with the WireGuard key, put the pub key in there, say another 6 months, and it gets automatically extended. And our WireGuard server knows exactly, okay, node XYZ, or not node, Viggy, pub key. XYZ extended, and so we had the 6 months.
What happens if you don't extend and you're just...
It just ends, Edward.
Yeah, but if it ends, does it go back to Tor automatically?
Yes, it's all the time on Tor.
So
the fancy thing, at least in LND, I know that there is a sequence how channels connect to you. So if I'm an LND node and I want to connect to you, Edward, and you're connected three ways, IPv4 is highest priority. I try first your IPv4. No avail. I fall back to the next one, which is Tor. And funnily, somehow, the last one is IPv6. There may be three nodes on this planet right now online with IPv6.
And you're right.
And it's the lowest priority. I don't know why, because actually it works. This is a sequence LND uses. So IPv4 tunnel is down. I connect to you via Tor.
Cool. Yeah. And do you have contact with Lightning software distributions or Lightning Node software developers for to have this service baked into their service of their software in a way? I can imagine that. Yeah, that would be something very nice.
It is very nice, which we started quite early on, but we are also conscious of their roadmaps and their structure. But I have to say, I'm not going to name and shame, but the LND team is super forthcoming. They invited us to a setup. We had a small session with them. They wanted to know what we are up to. They wanted to know how they can help us. So we are in touch with LND, somewhat in touch with CLN, even though not the professional. And not with Eclair, to be honest, but we are working closely with them. As closer you get, as more options and opportunities are there for us.
Yeah. So that's right. Maybe in the near future there will be a baked-in version of are you guys reaching that point of being baked in, or can't you say something about it?
Well, it is. I do think that layer 2 stuff is we should leave them to whatever they do, the Taprooty stuff and the Lightning advertising, the liquidity stuff, and making routing work and stopping with those damn expensive force closes. Let them focus on this. Mm-hmm. What I prefer and what we as a team prefer is rather work with the Node OS systems, work with Umbrella, work with Raspi Blitz, get the Raspi Bolt guys in there. Minode is cool. Empathy would be cool, but they're tricky. They do fancy stuff. So I rather work with a
Start9. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. They have more because they structure the setting on top of it, so much closer to the user. Let the bare bones, let the hardcore engineers work with the bare bones of Lightning.
Yeah.
Perfect, that's, man. That's I will. I'm still an Umbrella user. I wanted to switch to Raspberry Blitz, but I couldn't find the time. So I will see if you guys are popping up in the App Store or something like that. So. Thanks for the talk again. Well, time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah, man, we had so many questions.
Minutes, man. What the hell?
And I was asking, can we ask some more? No.
Okay. We have to be strict now, Edward. We
you're
have to be
absolutely
but,
right.
But so, there's one positive thing. We can invite Hakuna into a future episode.
For the third
episode,
time.
For the third time. Why not?
I would love to
would
come
be great.
Perfect, awesome. Man. Thanks.
Thank you.
Соединим. Этот мир.
Okay, so we have something new for you, Hakuna, because the last time you must ask a question to you, we had a pre-recorded question from our previous guest, but now you can choose between three questions we pre-recorded. So Edward can tell you exactly who the people are you can choose from, and then, make a choice, I would say.
Well, you were saying Asenk, and I have here Bastien Tenturier, so perhaps you want to hear his question. I also have Jesse De Witt. He is a Lightning developer at Breeze. Mm-hmm. And I have Marnix Kluk from Lightning.watch.
And Cheese Robot.
And Cheese Robot.
Difficult to choose, man.
really good.
You
contenders.
Can hear the other questions in a future episode, of course.
I'll go for it's the closest to home, I guess. I go for Marnix.
Marnix, perfect. All right. Here it comes.
Hi there. It's Marnix from Lightning Watch. And my question to you is, what is the biggest mistake you made on Lightning? And did you lose money?
Good question.
I'm pretty sure. Let me think if I have something unique which no one did. No, I think we all been there, right? I think I lost a lot of. Yes, I know. I opened a pretty big loop channel, and didn't have a minimum fee in there, and it opened up. I think at 100 ppm or something. 20 million, and I didn't watch left and right. 5 minutes later, poof, all the liquidity was on their side, and they closed the channel, and it was gone. Because usually, for everyone not knowing it, the loop is usually around these days, it's 1,400 ppm or so is the average channel fee for the channels because they do trustless swaps. It's pretty good still, but you don't go online with them with 100 ppm. Don't make that mistake because your liquidity is...
It's drained.
It's gone with someone else. Your money isn't gone. It's just with someone else who's smarter than you.
Yeah,
who's smarter than you. All right.
Good story, man.
Yeah.
Really like it.
Connetti il mondo.
I see here, Edward.
Yeah.
We can give a prize away, mate.
I see it also.
Wow.
That's nice.
That's a nice
That's amazing. No, really. It is.
And we can give away three times, 3 months subscription for Tunnel Sets. And it would be very stupid if we haven't a lot of people that wanted to use your servers, Hakuna, because we have a lot of node runners within our Rings of Fire community listening to the podcast. So I'm sure a lot of people are interested in trying it out. So three times, 3 months subscription for Tunnel Sets. And what do they need to do to make a chance to win, Edward?
Well, they need to follow Connect the World, of course, and Tunnel Sets and like on Twitter, by the way, and like and retweet the show Twitter snippets to enter our raffle. And then we will pick three winners by spin wheel and we'll contact you on Twitter. DMs, of course, to grab your prize. You can send us a message. No hidden subscription. So once 3 months ends, there's no obligation or auto extension. That's what Hakuna mentioned. So that's really great.
Yeah,
and we talked about tunnel sets a lot. We mentioned it to people who are asking, how do I make this this routing node faster and, well, route more? This is the way to go, and it's a very safe way to do it. So I think it's interesting. If you are thinking about it, just do it now, and then you have chance of winning.
Yeah, well,
would be great.
Curious who is going to win.
Awesome.
Me too. Good luck.
Conecta el mundo.
Okay, Hakuna, where can people follow you? Or maybe where can people follow Tunnel Sets, obviously? What's your website? Do you have a Twitter or, well, whatever
Telegram
you like.
Telegram group.
Yeah, just like a real cool YouTube influencer like you two fellas. I'm doing this. Click here, like, and subscribe, and all the links down there.
And we'll put the last episode here, from a year ago.
Yeah, it is. No, the links are, of course, tunnelsats.com. Get our organic search on your favorite search engine. Get those up. We like that. We're on Twitter. We're on Nostra, of course. Fancy stuff.
Yeah.
We are on Telegram, but tunnelsats.com or the Onion page, which I'm not going to read to you because it's a very long URL, but it's in the show notes. Go there. We have all the deep links on there, and you can find our GitHub and also then all the fellas, the founders, and their appropriate links.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Great. Thanks. Thanks again. And thanks, everyone, for listening. And thanks to all members participating in Satoshi Radio Rings of Fire, soon with Tunnel Sets. And of course, thanks, everyone, to help us to connect the world together. If you like our content, then please support us in our mission. Visit our website, connecttheworld.live, where you can also donate and subscribe, like, and share our content on your favorite platform. We need you to complete our mission, connect the world. So keep those nodes running, sets flowing, and rings burning. And see you all next week with another guest at the same Lightning channel.
Cheers.
Aloha, Hakuna.
Thank you.